saw you sitting there so lonely, conversating with the air in the room. Little girl, I adore you, put no one before you, cross the room into your view. First you look right through me, then you throw your arms around me, say it's been quiet some time. Nod my head at that what you just said. Excuse yourself for a glass of wine. How do you do? Oh, girl, how are you? How do you do?
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Oh, yes, it's Monday. It's Monday at 3 o'clock, and damn it, I'm upset today. Aren't you? I know some of you are. I've been waiting all day, sitting here looking at the screen, waiting for this news to come across. The Truth Out has said that it was going to come out today. Jason Leopold, all that kind of thing, that Mr. Karl Rove was probably going to be indicted today. Nothing yet. Am I missing something? Is it just not there yet? Well, I don't know. Anyway, I'm absolutely disgusted. I mean, I got a bucket of champagne, you know, an ice bucket here with champagne, the whole deal, ready to go. I was going to drink and get drunk on the show and talk about Karl Rove all day today. And now we're just, Fitz, what's going on? Will someone get a hold of Fitz? I tried to get a hold of Fitz all day long today and find out just what the hell's happening. Seems like he could call a few of us and let us know. Will Pitt says, Will says that Leopold definitely knows what he's talking about. Well, God, I hope so. But so far, all the mainstream media has avoided this story like the plague. Some of the lesser ones, MSM, have said that, acknowledged that the story was out there, but they put no credence in it. So what's going to happen? Are we just going to sit here and wait and wait and wait? Or will they report it at 5 minutes till five when we're getting ready to go off the air today? Is that what they're going to do to us? I hope not. Wow. Hey, and I do want to apologize to everybody. Last Friday, I got all hyped up about this poll out of the Washington Post. And Dave was kind enough to call in and let me know that it was quite a push poll. And I found out later, after I got a chance to see the whole thing, oh my, was it ever a push poll. And now over the weekend, some other polls have come out that people have had a chance to take a good look at the NSA spying mess and see what is actually happening. And this little business of them being able to say, oh, the American people don't mind, that's a bunch of BS. American people do mind. And they'll keep citing that original Washington Post poll. You mark my word, they'll never back off of that. All along from now till kingdom come, they'll say, oh yeah, you know, the American people don't mind that at all. They don't mind we're listening on because they trust us, you know. And Lots of interesting things over the weekend. Not any great big news, I didn't think, yesterday on the Sunday morning programs. I got to take a look at all the transcripts. I think probably the only thing that on the Sunday morning programs that rankled me at all was that Mary Cheney. Man, she's... boy, she's a piece of work, isn't she? Isn't she just like her father? I think she's exactly like her father. She's ever bit as disgusting as her daddy. Man, oh man, that's a hard woman right there. That of course, that whole family. Lynn Cheney, what a bitch. And Dick, and now this girl Mary. I mean, these people you would not want as your neighbors. These people I don't think you'd want to associate with whatsoever. These people are true sociopaths, all three of them. Are there any more in the family besides the three? I'm not sure whether there's another daughter. I was thinking maybe there was another daughter. I'm not exactly sure, but man, I wouldn't want anything to do with any of those people. Hey, and I do want to, before I forget, I do want to thank Pam up in beautiful Bozeman, Montana, for sending the great pictures of the Mother's Day march and rally against Bush and the NSA spying program up there. Thank you, Pam. Pam is a dedicated listener from the beautiful state of Montana. Let me tell you, if you've never been to Montana, I don't care much for it in the wintertime, but in the summertime, Butte, Billings, Bozeman, up in Browning and up in that neighborhood, going to the Sun Road and the Glacier National Park and all, what a spectacular place. Oh, I think if I had my druthers, if I had all the money in the world, I'd spend my summers probably somewhere in the neighborhood of Browning, Montana. Don't worry, though. It'll get ruined. There'll be enough of the rich folks get up there and buy up all the good places that it'll get ruined as well. Oh, what else do we have on our notes here today? We thank Pam. By the way, I guess you're going to have to be careful with your email from now on as well. Not only are they spying on the phone calls, they're going to be checking your email too. So, you know, all that subversive stuff you've been sending around, all that super secret subversive stuff, don't send it anymore. You're going to have to figure out some code words and all that sort of thing. They're not going to be happy until they monitor everything, that last thing we do. How far away do you think it is? How many years will it be that there'll be a federal directive, a federal law, that when a child is delivered, they'll have one of those chips put in their ear, just like you do with the dogs nowadays, that it'll be federal law that each and every American will have one of those chips, microchips put in them, so that to be able to, A, know your whereabouts at all times, B, know what you buy, when you buy, how much money you make, how you pay your taxes, who you call, that's what these guys are after. Don't let anybody kid you. That's exactly what these people are after. And there's a couple of reasons for it, of course. I think George Orwell would be proud. One of the reasons for it, so that they can have control over you. Of course, if they know all of your finances, all of your health issues, your buying habits, all that sort of thing, they can have complete control over you. The government will know what you're up to at all times and would be able to intimidate you into being good little boys and girls just the way they want you and being what they want you to be. Secondly, they will sell and give this information to big business, who will be able to use it to increase their profits, mining for data on how you spend your money and where you spend it and so forth. This is very useful information to big business. So in as much as they are tied in with the Republican machinery, you can see where politically this is a good thing for them, mining for this information, and also monetarily it's a wonderful thing for them, so they can maintain power with and money. But I will predict, I'm on record as saying, each baby born in this country within 20 years will have a chip implanted with them with their Social Security number. That is, if we still have Social Security by then, but with some kind of government identification, and they'll activate the chip when it's put in a newborn baby, and they'll be able to keep track of all of us. It's coming. Mark my word. God, I hate saying stuff like that, but I think it's absolutely inevitable. How many of you saw the Dixie Chicks last evening? I got to see, I got to see this morning a video of it. Thank you. Thank you to the Chicks. I heard exactly what I wanted to hear from them, that they haven't backed off of their beliefs for a moment, and I'm damn proud of them for doing that. And I wish him all the best. I got what I expected from him. I didn't think they'd come back and say, well, you know, we're regretful that we said some of the things we did, and we probably shouldn't have, and we probably shouldn't have. No, they're not a bit apologetic, nor should they be. And I doubt there's ever been a musician in this country, or a group of musicians, persecuted any more than the Dixie Chicks were. They did a number on them. Of course, we got to see one of the great advantages of the mass, huge right-wing media, Clear Channel, literally blackballing the Dixie Chicks. And if you're blackballed off of Clear Channel, you're screwed. And they did a number on record sales, CD sales and everything of the Chicks. They really did a number on them. And, of course, down south, redneck territory, everybody is wanting to get them shotguns out and go hunting them there Arabs. Well, they had all sorts of things against the Dixie Chicks as well. Chicks, you're all right with me. I like their music anyway, and I like their attitude. I love women with attitude, and they've got it. And I couldn't be more proud of what I saw last night. Big news up in Ohio. Sherrod Brown. And the battle for the Senate up there is now, I was a little bit upset a while back with Sherrod jumping in that Senate race and Paul Hackett was going to get into it. And I certainly would back Paul Hackett. I thought maybe Sherrod, should leave it to Hackett and stay in the House, but, Sherrod evidently knows what he's doing. He's in that race against Mikey DeWine up there right now. They should call him Mike DeWine because that's what he is. He's a real whiner. Anyway, Sherrod Brown, my man. I love Sherrod Brown. If he's ahead of DeWine 44-41 in the poll right now. And Ohio, make no mistake about it, Ohio is flipping, baby. Ohio is going to flip. I don't think there's any doubt about it. It's going to flip. I think lots of people in Ohio have seen the light. And Sherrod Brown, if you've never met Sherrod Brown, let me tell you. There's a guy right there, when he tells you something, take it to the bank. He's a good man. He's a fine politician. He is an honest man. I know there was some controversy about him promising Paul Hackett that he wouldn't get in that race. I don't know anything about it. I don't know the conversation that took place between the men, but I do know that Sherrod Brown is an honorable man. He's a good politician, and he's a good legislator for the people of Ohio, and he will make a great senator for the people of Ohio. Can't think of a better guy to send Mikey DeWine back home to. Where's Mikey from? Down around Lebanon, Ohio, something down in that area someplace. Anyway, and let me tell you, one of my favorite newspapers in all the world, they can just get screwed as far as I'm concerned from now on, the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Cleveland Plain Dealer used to be one of the very finest newspapers. I know maybe I'm partial, but I was from Ohio, and it was Ohio's main newspaper, despite the fact that the Columbus Dispatch comes out of the state capital. The PD, as we affectionately called it, was a great newspaper. Did a lot of great investigative reporting. There wasn't a better investigative team in the country in a newspaper than the Cleveland Plain Dealer. But whatever has happened to the Plain Dealer, given Dennis Kucinich a lot of grief here lately, screw them. He won that primary up there. They endorsed his opponent. How any hometown newspaper could speak out against a man like Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich is more of a man than 99% of the people in the Congress, in the Capitol building, in the in the House or in the Senate. He's more of a man, despite his diminutive size. Dennis Kucinich is a real man, let me tell you. I've met Dennis Kucinich. I've sat down at the table. He and his wife, it's just four of us, and had dinner and talked with him for a long time. Dennis Kucinich is a man, and he's an honest man. And so, you know, to the Cleveland Plain Dealer, get lost. You guys have lost any credibility you might ever had with me. I think it's about everything I have in my little notes here today that I was going to talk about. I did hear Laura Ingraham briefly this morning. I had to go to the bank, and I got in the car, and you know, that's all you can hear on the radio around here is right-wing radio, and it is, you know, the old story. Keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. So I tuned in to hear what Laura Ingraham had to say. And she talked about our troops, and I just absolutely hate it when I hear this. Talking about our troops being over in Iraq, fighting for our freedom. First of all, who did she say that for? For whose benefit did she say that? She said that for her benefit. She said it for the right-wing benefit. We're real patriots because we acknowledge that the troops are over there fighting for our freedom. I guess that's why the troops were all sent over there without proper body armor and improperly armored vehicles, that so many of them have been killed. I guess that's why they cut the veterans' benefits when they come home. I guess that's why they charge them for meals when they get into the hospitals when they come home. I guess they charge it. You know, they're so damn patriotic, these Republicans are. Saying things like that, they say things like that. But when push comes to shove and it's time to help the veterans, what do? They stick a big knife right in their back and cut their benefits. Ask the people down at the Veterans Administration, the VA. Ask them. Ask them how much the Republicans have done for them. Man, that just smokes me when I hear somebody, oh, they're over there fighting for our freedom. And since we're Republicans, we're very patriotic because, you know, we know they're fighting for our freedom. Mm. That really steams me. Really does. And I know a lot of you feel the same way about it. I mean, they use our troops. They use them for political benefit. That's all they've ever done. They don't give a damn what happens to them. They've shown that. Oh, I'm not saying every one of them doesn't, but you know, we got a president that's sent troops into harm's way. We got a Secretary of Defense that doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground. We've got a vice president that would sacrifice every man in this country if he had to make a buck. So, I don't know. It really bothers me every time I hear that, though. It really does. I found something very interesting. Oh, before I go any farther, how many of you saw Laura Bush in that interview she did on Sunday? Huh? Is she the perfect Stepford wife or not? I don't know the woman. Don't think I want to. In fact, I'd just rather stay away from any of the Bush people, any of them that I know of, at all. I doubt she'll ever become the old bag her mother-in-law is. Probably the most despicable of all the Bush people is Babs, good old Barbara. She must have been quite a piece of work as a mother. Oh, yeah. She must have really, really been quite a mom to have raised the children she raised, let me tell you. Anyway, her daughter-in-law, Laura, says she doesn't believe these bad polls on her husband. No, she doesn't believe it. I think they're true, and then some. I don't think the polls give any indication of how low a regard the American people have, and dare I add, the people of the world have, for your esteemed husband. Talked to a lawyer friend of mine over the weekend. He sent me a note. We were talking about federal law. And what exactly is it that Bush and Cheney and all these people have done? Look this up if you wish. It's interesting to note that Title 18, I read this and found it particularly interesting, and it's shortened to the point. Title 18, Part 1, Chapter 47, and Section 1001 of the United States Federal Statutory Code, U.S. Code Collection, mandates fines and imprisonment up to 5 years for a federal officer who, quote, knowingly and willfully, number one, falsifies, conceals, or covers up by any trick, scheme, or device a material fact. Number two, makes any materially false, fictitious, or fraudulent statement or representations. Or number three, makes any uses, any false writing or document knowing the same to contain any materially false, fictitious, or fraudulent statements or entry. I don't know. I looked this over real well, committed it to memory, and started thinking of all the things I have seen that the Bush folks administration has said and done over the past few years. And it doesn't paint a very pretty picture, I'm afraid. I think they're guilty of quite a few things here. Let me just mention in regard to this Title 18, Part 1, Chapter 47 of this law about knowingly and willfully falsifying, concealing, or covering up by any trick, scheme, or device or material fact. Let me just give you a couple of things here. The first one doesn't count. I'm a uniter, not a divider. That's just a stupid statement. The second one definitely fits in this statutory code. Saddam Hussein had long established ties with Al-Qaeda. That one can be prosecuted under the law I just gave to you. I pledge to restore honesty and integrity to the White House. Well, we'll let him ride on that, although I don't think he'd be prosecuted on that, just scorned. If anyone in this administration was responsible for the leaking of classified information, they would no longer work in this administration. That's a beauty. Here's another one that can be prosecuted. The British government has learned that Saddam Hussein recently sought significant quantities of uranium from Africa. They knew that was a lie when he said it. He knew it. Colin Powell knew it. Dick Cheney knew it. When we're talking about chasing down terrorists, we're talking about getting a court order before we do so. Flat out lie. Another one that can be prosecuted. $1.7 billion is the limit on reconstruction for Iraq. That's a false lie. That's a big one if I ever heard it. We will be greeted as liberators. Okay, we won't prosecute him on that one. That's just a stupid statement. It doesn't say any place in that statute that you can be prosecuted for stupidity. If they could, these people, oh my God. Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. Another one, just plain stupidity. I don't think that anybody could have predicted that these people would try to use an airplane as a missile, a hijacked airplane as a missile. Condi Rice said that, and she knew for a fact when she said this that she had information that she had read to the President of the United States that they were possibly planning on doing just that. And, of course, we got the No Child Left Behind, the Clear Skies Act, the Healthy Forest Initiative. Take your pick on those. We know where the weapons of mass destruction are. They're in the area around Tikrit and Baghdad and east, west, south, and north somewhat. That's Dickie Cheney's. Dickie can get the bracelets put around his wrist for that one. We do not torture. Flat out lie. How about this one? No one could predict the levees would break. When everybody down there said the levees would break. And probably the worst one of all. I do solemnly swear, imagine this, a man who claims to be a Christian. I do solemnly... I actually feel bad. I feel bad when I think about and picture this. The man standing there in his overcoat on January the 20th on the podium in front of the Capitol building with his wife and family and the Supreme Court justices there and the Congress of the United States and the outgoing President of the United States and the people of America and the world watching. And he puts his hand on the Bible, a book that he's led everybody to believe that he reveres and lives by the tenets in that Bible because he's a born-again Christian, and raises his hand into the air with his other hand on the Bible and says, I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. That is the worst, most damnable lie of all. Protect the Constitution of the United States, defend it, preserve it. The man has shown time after time that he's got nothing but contempt for the most sacred document in this country. Contempt for it. Him and his stooge, Alberto Gonzalez, have nothing but contempt for the Constitution of the United States. And they have shown it over and over and over and over again. I would be ashamed. I would be so ashamed if I were him, if he ever comes to his senses in his lifetime and understands what he has done, the damage he has wrought, the lives he has cost Americans and people or other people around the world because of filthy lies. After swearing before his God that he would protect, preserve, and defend the Constitution of the United States when he had no intention of doing any such thing. He knew it then. He knew it before then. The plan all along was to destroy the Constitution of the United States and write it according to the doctrine of the Bush administration. That is what it was all along. We know that. We have all the evidence we need of that. And yes, Mike, I hate these people too. So because of some of the comments I made about our beloved Junior Bush last week, I received the following email. I'm not the only one that got it because it was also sent to several other talk shows and some blogs that I'm not really familiar with. But I think this person, and I say person because I don't know if it's a guy or a gal because you just can't tell by the language anymore. You know what I mean. I think this person's a perfect example of most of those 29% of the American people who are still firmly in the Bush camp and will remain so. Even if Bush would start a nuclear holocaust in the Middle East, which would lead to the complete destruction of our country as we know it, they would stick with him no matter what. If this person survived the nuclear strikes and lived in an underground cave for, say, a dozen years, eating rats and roaches, he or she would be blaming Bill Clinton for his or her plight every day of his or her life. Count on it. This is email so eloquently portrays what we're dealing with here. The mindset is not changeable under any circumstances. There is the elementary difference between a liberal and a conservative. Most conservatives will not change their mind. They've got a set of things set in their mind, and they will not change them come hell or high water. If evidence is put in front of their face that they're totally wrong, they still won't change their mind. Whereas a liberal is willing to take a look at new evidence, is willing to take a look at new facts. That's the elementary difference. But this email perfectly portrays what we're dealing with here. This mindset will never be changed. And that's why I sometimes think Americans, and I'm not kidding, and you've heard me say it before, I sometimes believe Americans will someday be taking up arms against one another again. I'm serious. Here we are, only about 5 years past one of the, probably the most two most unifying events in American history, Pearl Harbor and 9/11, and we have people writing the following. This is the email. Wake up. Your boy Clinton, that gutless, lying, philandering, race-baiting, partial birth murder-approving, Chinese and Castro-bought and paid for, class envy, rhetoric-spewing, fake tears-crying, con-man, snake-rapist, did nothing while we were murdered around the world. Osama got the idea for 9/11 when the gutless Arkansas trash had us cut and run in Somalia. The Clintons are trailer trash, and you loony liberals showed your class by electing the only asshole left in Arkansas with any teeth. You go ahead and have all the fun you want right now, but I assure you, you will end up losing the war for the heart and soul of America. End quote. What do you say to someone who writes something like that? He repeats every hateful thing, or she, every hateful thing ever said by their gods, their heroes, their sources of information, the drug junkie Limbaugh and that little Nazi bastard Sean Hannity, as though it were fact. And there is no reasoning, there's no convincing with facts, there's no chance whatsoever of making this person see the light. If push comes to shove, this type of person will join the Tim McVeighs in this country and take up arms against those he disagrees with, I promise you. I'm surprised it hasn't happened already. I think we've only been lucky that there hasn't been some violence breakout at some political events, the rallies, the protests, the marches, and political gatherings. Really, I'm amazed that people haven't started killing one another over political hatred in this country. And you saw a perfect example of it when, heard a perfect example of it on this program last week when we talked about a judge throwing a lady in a prison in a psych ward because he disagreed with a political statement on her t-shirt. Now, I don't know the answer. I know we cannot allow them to intimidate us into silence again like they did when they started the Iraq War and called everyone who protested against us anti-American and the like. I know we can't allow the likes of men like Tom DeLay and Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld and Paul Wolfowitz and Richard Pearl and the other extremists ascend to power again and attempt to take over the world for their radical agenda. This vast right-wing conspiracy, and that is exactly what it is. She had it precisely right when she said those words. I don't know if she knew when she said it the depth and breadth of this movement in this country, but she had it nailed. The vast right-wing conspiracy, it's got to be permanently put to rest. I guess the answer is to keep attacking them with reason and logic and facts. Some of them eventually might accept our truth. Others will not. I guess we just have to have faith that those who write things like the email I just read are in the vast minority, and I hope to God that they are. Well, let's go to the phone. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show. Well, I guess that conversation didn't last very long, did it? Hello, are you there? Hello? Hello? Well, going to have to call back. What shall we do here? Let's take a short break, and we'll be back in just a minute or two.
What do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century, and how do we resolve conflicts between tribes and the federal and state governments?
Yeah. Tribal sovereignty means that it's sovereign. It's, you've been given sovereignty, and you're viewed as a sovereign entity, and therefore the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
What are you, on dope?
We think so too. Call Guy James now, 1-866-546-5254.
Well, you know, there's been a time and two in my lifetime, when I was younger, that I have probably not had complete control of my faculties, but my God, I hope I never sounded as stupid as that. I certainly hope not. If I did, I hope nobody's got a recording of it. Oh, boy. How'd you like to have somebody catch you in a moment like that? Well, sovereignty is just that. It's sovereign, and if it's sovereign, and if it's, you know, you're all, then you're sovereign, and, you know, I... Ooh, doggies, as Jeb Clampett used to say. Hey, everybody write this down and look it up. And again, I'm going to give everybody a chance to find this. And I don't know where this came from exactly, but look up federal statutes, print yourself out a copy of it, and keep a track of how many times these things are violated. Hey, and don't tell me, don't call me and tell me or email and tell me, hey, the Democrats lie too. I'd say prosecute everybody that violates Title 18, Part 1, Chapter 47 of the Federal Statute Code. Everybody. That's what kind of guy I am. I'm just as fair as can be. Hey, let's go to the phone. Who do we have?
Hi.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I certainly can.
Okay, I was the one on before. I could hear you fine.
Okay, well, we got you.
Okay, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
From Florida. Did you see Randy Rhoads on Larry King?
I certainly did. I saw a replay of it. Her and the other guy I'll make some of my Democratic friends mad. The other guy who's not really a Democrat, but anyway, I was proud of Randy.
Well, I love the part where her, the young guy,
mm-hmm.
She really got him.
Oh. I mean, I cannot imagine having to sit there and have her say to him what she did say to him. I mean, that guy, if it had been me, I'd have just slinked down in the bottom of my seat and walked out of the studio.
Right. Yeah, I've got the transcript of it.
Oh, do you? Yeah. Okay, do you have it right there?
Yeah, I do.
Read it for us, will you?
Okay. She's talking, so then the generals warned you if you went there, you'd open up the gates of hell, and that's what you've done. You've encouraged terrorism. You've encouraged hatred for the U.S. And he says, who said war was easy? She said, our troops don't get the support they need. They're there without the proper troop numbers. And he said, because you guys are saying it's a quagmire. Rose said, they are there without the proper body armor. They're there without the proper exit strategy. And he says, you're right. There's no support from the left because you said it's a quagmire, waste of time. We shouldn't be there. We need to come home. And she said, there's no leadership. Eight generals have come out, and maybe they know a little more than you do. And he said, they don't need your support. You're absolutely right. And I don't know why she said Ben and Dennis Prager, but anyway, Dennis Prager, the lovely man, was on there. His name, Ferguson, said, Randy, I have friends in Iraq, okay? She said, listen, you should be in Iraq.
Oh, yeah.
You're 22. When I was 22, I was in the military. Why aren't you there? He said, I'm 24 years old. Well, why aren't you there? Then go. And he says, and just because I support something doesn't mean I have to always go fight. And she said, you go ahead, and you go, and you come back. Because you know what happens when we come back. He said, I support the Yankees doesn't mean I wear their uniform. She says, once you've served, you come back and you're suddenly a liberal. Do you know why, Ben? Because you're only as good as the weakest link. And that's why you aren't in the military.
Oh,
I love that. I love that.
It was just a thing of beauty.
Yes, it was.
I
She got him, I'll tell you.
I played that two or three times just to see it again. I was so pleased with her over that, and I sent her an email and congratulated her on it. And
yeah, I said, God bless Randy.
And she also nailed Prager when she asked him for his phone number. I thought that was a thing of beauty as well.
She tries to get in everything she can because she does have a lot of chance to. But weren't they all condescending toward her?
Oh, well, certainly.
Every one of them, including the host.
Certainly they were. I know her. And Randy, she's that bucking bronco out in the corral that you're not going to put a saddle on, and you're not going to tame her. And that's a good thing. And yes, she talks over people and all that. She does. But I'll tell you what, there's not a sharper mind.
She studies, honey. She really studies.
She does. And she's quick. She's just lightning quick. And there's no, if I was a right winger, I wouldn't go on a show against her. Wouldn't do it. Wouldn't dream of it. And I thought she put him and Prager to sleep.
She just hung, like you said, she just hung in there.
Oh, yeah.
And she's going to stand up. That's one, another one that's going to stand up for the people, I'll tell you.
Oh, she does. She's a beauty. And you got to love Randy. I could tell you a couple stories about her, but I won't right now. But anyway, she's just a dandy, and I love her. I do. And
I'm so glad that she did that to that young guy. And him saying, just because I'm a Yankee fan doesn't mean I have to wear the uniform. But
yeah.
Well,
buddy, you couldn't wear the Yankee uniform either. So, I thought that was a stupid comeback. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, all of his were. Well, yeah. You don't support them. You don't.
You know, I just noticed recently that what is his name? John Roberts, is that his name that hosted the show?
Host was John Roberts.
He was on CBS until just recently, was he not?
I never saw him before. To my memory.
Yeah, he was on CBS, and he must have been unhappy that he maybe got passed over for the big job on there or something. I don't know, because I thought he was I kind of thought he was the heir apparent to Dan Rather. I could be all wet on that, but
you probably know. I didn't. You know, I got to work. I just didn't keep up with all that news, those so-called news shows on.
Yeah, I don't ever hardly see the evening news anymore.
Yeah, because there's, I don't know. And I'll tell you, another good debate was on C-SPAN with Greg Palast.
Oh.
Did you see that one? You got to see that one. That was
part of it. I just spoke to over here. I we've had Greg on the show a couple of times over the years, and I just spoke to Kevin Chi, his publicist, and Kevin was kind enough to send me Greg's new book called Armed Madhouse.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to read it over here in the next couple of days, and then we're going to have Greg on the show.
Oh, that's great. There was the editor of and all the editor was go back and say what they did during the Second World War and all that kind of junk. You know, he just had no answers. He just said everything that Greg Palast said was conspiracy theories, you know.
Well, Greg.
But Greg was a gentleman. That guy kept calling him a socialist and this and that and the other. And well, Greg never called him a name of any kind. He just gave him the facts.
And there's nobody better at facts than Greg. He's the most well-researched person when he writes a book. You know, he won't be like Ann Coulter and have, 100 footnotes in the back that were totally lies. When Greg writes a book, you take it to the bank. And interesting book. It's called Armed Madhouse, and it's got a picture of Georgie Bush with the Crown of England on the front, and Who's Afraid of Osama Wolf and China. It's just I started reading a little bit of it earlier today. It's going to be a terrific read. And by golly, I even see on the back one of the credits on the cover, the top investigative journalist in America and the funniest, Randy Rhodes. So
Well, you know, the Greg Pallas, that the last, you know, when Kerry was running, he said he predicted exactly what happened.
Before it happened, he predicted what happened. He knows, and he backs up everything he says with facts. But I promise you, we'll have him on the show soon, within the next 2 weeks, most certainly. And
These people are heroes to me.
Yeah.
You know, we've got some great heroes, and they're mostly unsung, you know.
That's right. Well, you know, Greg, if for one, well, a lot of people don't know how this New York Times bestseller thing works. Someone like Ann Coulter brings a book out, or a Bill Bennett or somebody, and the Richard Mellon Scaife or some of the right wingers, they'll buy the first 50 or 100,000 copies of it and destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been sold and they're recorded, and so that moves them way up on the bestseller list, and then it helps them sell more books. But it's nothing but self-perpetuating. And a guy like Greg does that. There's no big fat cat going to come in and buy a million of his books or anything.
Mm-hmm.
He has to make it on his own, and he does, and he's very well respected.
Yeah.
I look forward to having him on again. The last time we had him on, it was over a year ago, and I know we had him booked like for 20 minutes, and we ended up talking to him for an hour.
If you get a chance to see that, the debate they had on there.
I'll look for that.
It was with that Steve Scully, you know, and he just sat back and let them go.
Yeah. Well, I'll look for that. Hey, we need to thank you for your call.
Okay.
Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Yes, I was pleased today when I heard the old knock on the studio door, and it was the UPS guy, and had my copy of Armed Madhouse with Greg Pallas. I tell you, if you've not read any of his stuff, you better get started. Great, great, great reading. Just terrific reading. And the good thing about it is, you're never going to find him lying about anything. I mean, he is paranoid about backing up everything he says. He goes to extremes in his research. One reference isn't good enough. Two references isn't good enough. He's got to get three, four, or more, and that's how he does it. I was very heartened over the weekend to see that John Kerry has now added support to Feingold's censure measure. Way to go. Thank you, John Kerry. Been waiting for more of the heavyweights to come on board with that. Wisconsin Senator Russ Feingold's measure to censure President Bush has gained a third supporter. This is off the Associated Press. Massachusetts Senator John Kerry has officially signed on to the bill. He joins fellow Democrats Tom Harkin from Iowa and Barbara Boxer from California as co-sponsors. And it's unclear whether the Judiciary Committee will ever bring up the censure proposal for a vote. What do you think? Kerry initially held off on supporting the measure. He said the president should be held accountable, but Kerry wanted to make sure a censure was the best way to do it, and now he has come to that conclusion. So thank you, John Kerry. Thank you. And I hope more Democrats will stand up now and go for this censure measure. You know, and that brings up a subject. We've just got a few minutes till the top of the hour in the news, and I don't want to get started on anything real long here, but there's this big argument going on, and we're going to have somebody on from Slate Magazine not too long from now, probably next week, to talk about it. There's a lot of people. I see a split happening within the party. A lot of Democrats want to completely lay off the impeachment talk. They say, don't even bring it up during this election, during his midterm. Don't. Threaten it. Don't say it's going to be part of what we're going to do. Don't say if we get elected, we're going to look for investigations and impeachment. That'll only hurt us. That's one opinion. It's the one I don't agree with. Now, it's my own personal opinion that investigations and impeachment should not be the centerpiece of your campaign, if you're a Democrat running for the House or Senate. No, don't make it the centerpiece, but certainly have it on the slate. most certainly have it on the slate. And when you're at a forum, when you're giving a speech, when you're having a debate and you are asked about it, simply say yes. If there's an investigation called for, we will call for any legal investigation that should be in the interest of getting the truth to the people of the United States of America. It's not something that we are out to get vengeance over or anything like that, but we feel that if it's called for, if the people want investigations and it comes to that, then we will seek them. But it is not why we are running for office right now. We are not looking for revenge, blah, 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 blah. I think that's the way it ought to be done. But to shove it under the rug and say we don't want anything to do with it, I think that is absolutely wrong. Let's go to the phone here. Let's see if we can... Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, this is Alice.
Hi, Alice.
Hi, Guy.
Hello, how are you today?
Well, I'm I'm still the same age, I guess. There are many of us who appreciate Randy Rhoads, but we can't go there until your show is over.
Mm-hmm.
You are the best.
Well, thank you.
That's the way we feel about you.
Well, she's... I love Randy, I do. She got the sharpest comeback and sharpest wit of anybody that I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's what we need. Yeah.
If somebody told me that I had to go debate Randy Rhoads, I'd have to find a way out of that deal. I wouldn't want to do it. Wouldn't want to do it. That'd be like taking a knife to a gunfight, you know?
Yeah.
It just wouldn't work out real well.
No, it wouldn't. Well... You're very right in your thinking.
What do you think? You know, I mentioned a moment ago that I don't think that I do think the Democrat candidates for the House and the Senate shouldn't back away from impeachment or investigations. They shouldn't make it the main course of their campaigns. But I think they should also be honest and tell voters that if it comes to that, yes, we will back it. But that's not why we're running. And
yeah.
I just don't want to see Democrats back away from it. And Nancy Pelosi the other day made a statement that kind of was all-inclusive in saying, no, 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 we won't do that. Well, I don't think we ought to say we won't do that.
No, because when we have to, we will.
And people have a right to know the truth.
That's right.
And... you know, there are a lot of things right now that are being hidden in this cloak of secrecy over this Bush administration.
Oh, I know. I guess it goes back a long way.
Oh, sure does. It certainly does. Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask you out there. I've only got a couple of minutes before the top of the hour, but I see the governor out there, Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger. He doesn't want the feds to get involved in the border dispute down there.
Oh, no.
He wants them.
He's just doing his own thing.
He wants to keep the feds out and have the state take care of whatever problem they have. And, you know, I kind of respected him for that. If they can find a reasonable resolution to it, and I'm not sure I know what it is.
No, I don't either.
I'm glad I... you know, I don't mind sharing my opinions with somebody, as you well know, but I'm glad that I'm not in charge of having to figure out the answer to that problem.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness for that.
Now, you live pretty far north in California. Is it not true?
Pardon?
You live pretty far north in California.
Yeah. Well, Eureka.
Yeah. Is it as much of a problem there? Is it a big problem there?
Well,
do you have lots of illegals there?
Oh, yes, we have a certain amount of
Okay.
That.
Yeah, we do here where I live, too. And you know, the people who are legal immigrants, they resent it somewhat. And I don't know what the answer is, and I don't know what it's going to be. I guess the president's going to talk about it tonight.
Brother.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going
to
give a...
I don't like to watch him.
He's going to give a speech. I think it's at 8 o'clock tonight, so everybody be sure and tune in for that. I know you'll really look forward to it.
Oh, you want me to listen to it? Do I have
No, go watch some cartoons or something instead. It'll be more entertaining. I got to go. Hey, thank you for calling.
Yeah, and I'm right behind you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's coming up on the top of the hour here pretty soon. I don't know where that first hour got to today. One of those ones that just kind of disappeared real quick. Guess I got to talking and couldn't stop. But we're looking forward to the next hour. We've got a lot to talk about. I do hope you'll join us. 866-546-5254. And you got any questions or comments about the show or anything you'd like to get off your chest, you give us a call. We'll talk to you. We'll be back right after the news.
This is Quality News Network. The U.S. will soon have an embassy in Tripoli. The State Department announcing today that the United States plans to restore full diplomatic relations with Libya and will remove the North African country from the list of state sponsors of terrorism. President Bush will address the nation tonight and announce that he's sending thousands of National Guard troops to bolster patrols along the Mexican border. White House officials say Mr. Bush has assured Mexican President Vicente Fox that a permanent National Guard presence on the border is not being considered. A four-day deluge has turned streets into rivers across New England, flooding homes, forcing dozens of schools to close because the buses couldn't get through, and threatening dams and communities as rivers rise. Forecasters are warning that the worst is yet to come. The rain totals could hit 15 inches by this afternoon, triggering the worst flooding in some areas since 1936. Four more U.S. military troops have been killed in Iraq, two of them when insurgents shot down their helicopter south of Baghdad. Also in Iraq, the chief judge in the trial of Saddam Hussein formally charged him today with crimes against humanity, including a torture, murder, and the illegal arrest of nearly 400 people in a crackdown against Shiites in the 1980s, a defiant Saddam refused to enter a plea. The U.S. Supreme Court today let stand a ruling that two Indian tribes are not entitled to $248 million as compensation for New York State's unlawful acquisition of their land 200 years ago. The justices refused to review a ruling by a U.S. appeals court that overturned the monetary damages which had been awarded to the Cayuga Indian Nation of New York and the Seneca Cayuga Tribe of Oklahoma. Volcanic activity is increasing on Indonesia's Mount Merapi. More than 4,500 people living near the crater have been evacuated. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas today called for Israel to return to the negotiating table. He also urged Palestinian militants in the Gaza Strip to halt rocket attacks on Israel, saying the violence only encourages Israel to proceed with unilateral plans to impose a border on the Palestinians. In Haiti, René Préval, the only president in that country's history to finish a five-year term, has been sworn in again to lead the impoverished nation after decades of armed uprisings, lawlessness, and foreign intervention. In London, Prime Minister Tony Blair has reportedly told ministers that he plans to leave office in the summer of next year. He says he will step aside in time for his successor to settle into office before the next general election expected in 2009. And the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says 48 million people still do not regularly use seatbelts while they're on the road. You're listening to Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
In Houston, the jury in the case against Enron CEOs Ken Lay and Jeffrey Skilling is hearing closing arguments from the prosecutor. Tomorrow it'll be the defense's turn. The jury is expected to begin deliberations on Wednesday. Today is the final day for eligible seniors to enroll in Medicare's new prescription and drug benefit plan without penalty. Sales of existing homes fell for the fifth consecutive month in January, and the latest sign that the once sizzling housing market is cooling rapidly. That's not the case in New Orleans, however, where first quarter sales of single-family homes are up 60% over the first quarter of last year to $826 million. Experts say it's not surprising that one of the ironies of natural disasters is that they're often good news for real estate. MTV is starting up an online music and video store to rival Apple's iTunes. The cable network will launch Urge on Wednesday. Bausch & Lomb announcing today it's permanently recalling its Renew with Moisture Lock Contact Lens solution worldwide after reports the treatment might trigger a rare eye infection. China's official exchange rate broke through a psychologically important 8 yuan per dollar level today, its highest in more than a decade. It's a move that traders say might signal Beijing's willingness to allow its currency to appreciate faster. Light sweet crude oil is trading at $69.70 a barrel. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 41 points. The NASDAQ is off 22, and S&P 500 is down 6. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hello, we're back. Coming to you from the third floor of the TI Bay Broadcasting Building, Truth in Broadcasting. Glad to have you along with us on this beautiful, beautiful afternoon. Hope it's nice where you are. Most certainly is here today. A gorgeous day in Southwest Florida. I guess that's why most of us live here. Can't be on account of the insurance prices. Oh, mama. There's a lot of trouble here in River City going on right now about insurance prices, property insurance. Going to be a lot of people pushed out of here, I think. You know, here we are. Here we have insurance companies with record profits last year, but never one to miss an opportunity. They're raising prices. I see State Farm raising their prices 71%, and of course we've got the state. What do they call it? Community? I forget what it's called. Citizens, I think it's called. It's a high risk insurance. If you can't get insurance anyplace else, and most people can't. You go into the Citizens Fund, and you really pay for through the nose for that. So it's a difficult situation for many, many, many people here in Florida because of the damage by the hurricanes and expected more damage by hurricanes. So it'll be interesting to see in the next few years just what happens around here with real estate, all across Florida, really, real estate prices, and will it end up being a place only the ultra-rich can live? Because of the insurance prices and so forth. Who knows? 866-546-5254. We'd love to have you call us and comment on anything we have to say, or maybe give a few comments of some things you'd like to say. 866-546-5254. If you are in Washington, D.C., and some of our listeners are, you can call us locally there on our D.C. Bureau, 202-370-6153, or if you happen to be in the Phoenix area, 623-444-5252 for the Phoenix Bureau. That'll get you into the TIB Broadcasting Network building, and we'd love to have you along with us today. Oh, my goodness. Not hearing anything about Karl Rove. Got to admit, I'm going to have to take the champagne and put it back in the refrigerator, keep it cold maybe for tomorrow. Of course, the grand jury doesn't meet tomorrow, do they? It's Wednesday again. I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen? I do know this. If he does not get indicted, there's going to be a couple of people I know whose credibility is going to go down the tubes. If they've reported that they just definitely know this is going to happen and cited you know, that it is going to happen, is imminent and all this sort of thing, they're feeling some real pressure, I'm sure. But as all of you know who are listening to me right now, I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. And they have said, well, one of them, Jason Leopold, he said he knows what he's talking about. He's got sources inside the White House that tell him this. So we shall see. We shall see. 866-546-5254. Give us a call. It never fails to amaze me. Bush is going to get on TV tonight and talking. If he does, whatever it is he says, is going to talk about immigration, I guess. And, you know, he's one of those guys that you can watch him talk, and when he's done speaking, you look at the person next to you and go, what the hell was he just talking about? It's kind of like that. It's kind of like when you go to the school play and, you know, the third grader and the third, you got one kid that comes up in front and gives a little speech in front of it. That's kind of what it always reminds me of. I wonder, and wouldn't you love to know? I've got a, where do I have this stored here someplace on the old computer? I've got a, does everybody know who Gail Sheehy is? You know who Gail Sheehy is? You need to go to GailSheehy.com, GailSheehy.com, and read the article that she wrote a while back. I guess she was a contributing editor, may still be for all I know, to Vanity Fair since 1984. And she's written a lot about a lot of famous figures, but you got to see this one. And it's called "The Accidental Candidate" by Gail Sheehy. And again, that's Gail Sheehy, Sheehy.com, and read the one about Junior Bush called "The Accidental Candidate." That will tell you quite a bit about Junior Bush, maybe more than you want. More than you want to know or need to know, but it's quite an article. It's a lengthy article, and I think you'll find it really, really informative and maybe put you in a position where you can understand some of the terrible abnormalities that there are within the Bush family. And I think dysfunctional fits that family as well as any that I have seen. And it probably all centers around the mother. Barbara Bush, obviously a troubled individual, obviously a very poor mother. Obviously, to anybody who's ever seen her and heard her talk and some of the things she says, obviously just a horrible person. And hey, if you're listening in over there, General Hayden, yes, I did say that. I've said it before, and if you go back and look at the transcripts of other shows and other phone calls or what I've made, I've told that to my friends on the phone, too. So if you are listening in, why, yes, I did say it, and you know what? I mean it, too. God, that woman has said some... You remember she said, talking about dead soldiers coming home from Iraq, why would I want to trouble my beautiful mind with body bags and all that? My beautiful mind. She says some outrageous things. I think she is an outrageous person, and I can't imagine having somebody like that. From what I've seen, I don't know the woman, but from all I've read and all I've seen, thank God I wasn't paying tribute to her yesterday as a mother. Mm. But here we have this Bush family, and most specifically right now, Junior Bush and the Bush administration saying, trust us. And he's probably going to, you know, relate that to that again tonight. Yeah, just trust us. While it's true that we're gathering, and he's not going to talk about that probably tonight. They're probably going to stay away from that subject for a while until they get their talking points together, just what they want to say. But, you know, they're going to say something like, you know, while it's true, you know, we're gathering phone records on a few Americans, only a few tens of millions, mind you. Please trust us that we'll not abuse the privilege you've given us to listen in on your phone calls. That's what it's going to be. Oh, what's that? You didn't give us the privilege. Well, even so, Trust us because we're your government. And as you know, the government of the United States, especially the Bush administration, would never, never, never use those records to unnecessarily spy on any of our citizens. Unless, of course, we think you're a terrorist, or you might be a terrorist, or you maybe dreamed about being a terrorist one time, or you know, you might have had a dream about terrorism, or maybe you're just one of those extremist anti-Americans who protested our great war against evildoers over in Iraq. Maybe that would make you a terrorist in our minds, you see, because ultimately it is we, the Bush administration, who will decide who is a terrorist and who is not. Of course, if you did, everybody knows that you're either a terrorist or a commie or maybe both, and you're dangerous to your fellow citizens if you protest that war. So we have to listen in and find out when your next protest is so we can infiltrate it and find all you commie bastards and put you where you belong and teach you a lesson. Not that we'd ever torture anyone, you understand. We don't believe in torture. And I know a lot of people take liberties with that word, torture, but we don't think that anything we've done is actual torture. I mean, not the really horrible kind, you know, the pulling out the fingernails and drawing and quartering people like they did. I mean, you know, we don't actually, you understand, just trust us. It's just that sometimes people don't tell us what we want to hear, so we have to help them, you know, kind of help them remember some things by making them a little uncomfortable. No, you know, nothing bad, you understand. Usually it's just some college prank stuff. Like, you know, that's what Rush always says. It's college prank type stuff. You know, the old sticking your head underwater till you think you're going to die by drowning. That one's always lots of fun for those watching. But we're careful. We're careful. And not too many have actually died from it. So, you know, don't get too scared. And then there's the old attaching electrical wires to, sensitive places on your body and turning on the juice. Now, that might look like it's painful, but trust us, it really isn't. And many who have suffered, well, I didn't mean suffered, I mean many who've experienced this prank have actually liked it. We know that because they were screaming with delight when we were doing this. Some thought they were screaming in pain, but trust us, they really liked that one. Want the electrical wire. It's a lot of fun. And maybe we'll go talk to your neighbors. You know, just a friendly little chat with them to see how everything's going in your neighborhood. And you know, just as a prank. We might threaten them with jail if they don't tell us a thing or two about you, but it's all in fun, and you understand. You need just a little levity there. And, you know, we could find out if you're wearing any of those T-shirts saying the criminal, you know, the president's a criminal and such. Now, we don't really care if you wear that sort of thing, but we're just trying to help you in your social interaction because some people might think poorly of you if you wear that stuff, and we wouldn't want that to happen, now would we? No. Because you do need to be careful nowadays, because you might run into one of those wacky judges who put you in a psycho ward for wearing an Andy Bush T-shirt, and we wouldn't want that. Trust us. We're not this kind of people. No, 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 we are not. We're compassionate conservatives, you see. And again, don't get all excited about these phone calls and all. It's been such a big deal all weekend. You people have to trust us. We might want to check up on a few folks and find out where they live. Because, you know, if the president comes by for a visit in the neighborhood, like he did recently, we'll want the the Secret Service to be fully aware of potential threats to the president's life so that we can have their automatic weapons pointed in the right direction. As a matter of fact, we used that information to protect the president recently in South Carolina. Yes. Did you know that? the president was in a motorcade in South Carolina and the Secret Service had their weapons pointed at people out the window as they drove by. So, you know, we have to be careful. So, what we're getting at here is coming at this from the government's point of view. You just need to trust us. You should know by now that our president would never, ever, ever lie to you, and he's proven over and over and again that he's 100% trustworthy. Well, maybe not 100%, but really close to it. Well, maybe not all that close, but I'll bet you can trust him 10% of the time. Well, with a 5% margin of error either way, of course. You know, you trust him, but he was right. He was right on the money about the WMDs in Iraq. He was completely correct about catching Osama bin Laden. He was completely correct about being able to affect gas prices, you know, if he got elected, because as we all know, his actions as president definitely have affected gas prices. So, I guess the message is today, don't get all in a snit about this phone spying business. Don't think of it as spying. Just think of it as kind of like your friendly uncle listening in on your conversation now and then. It's harmless. It's completely harmless. And the email thing, don't worry about that. We would never want to see what's in your email. Unless it's some bad stuff about the president, and we wouldn't care for that. But other than that, we won't care about your email, and unless you're talking to other people that don't like the president. But you know, trust us. Yeah, you people that are all in a snit about this telephone spying, you're just a little too paranoid. That Orwell guy in his 1984 book was just a bunch of lucky guesses. That's all. I tell you, some of you just get too carried away over this. And you really shouldn't. Because this might be just one of the most trustworthy administrations that there's ever been in. Oh, God help us if it is. Man, I'd hate to think of that, wouldn't you? Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254, if you'd like to give us a call. You know, I had a conversation with a friend the other day. Oh, I know one thing I did want to mention in conjunction to trusting us here over this. Sometimes they say things at the White House that make you wonder just a little bit, and you think, was this a Freudian slip over the weekend? The White House spokeswoman, Dana Perino, said that the NSA has not... Now, listen to this carefully. The NSA has not intentionally listened in on domestic calls without a court order. Has not intentionally. Now, it makes you wonder, why did they put that word in there? Has not intentionally listened in. Intentionally. So I guess maybe accidentally or unintentionally listening, you know, I don't know. It makes you wonder. I think she said something there and I said, whoops, we would never accidentally listen in. Let's take a phone call. Hi, you're on the show.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
This is Wayne from West Virginia.
Hi, Wayne. How are you?
Good, guy. Good. Listen, the example I like to use all the time as far as these people telling the truth, they couldn't even tell the truth about Pat Tillman's death, about Jessica Lynch's episode. I mean, if you can't tell the truth about American war heroes, can you be trusted on anything you say?
Oh, you have brought up two of the most egregious lies of all right there. Oh.
It doesn't get any lower than that,
no,
in my opinion.
No, it doesn't. To take advantage of both of those people and those families, I don't think people... And you know, the worst part about it is I don't think the American public pays attention to a lot of this stuff. I don't think they know about the Jessica, and I don't think they know about Tillman in the way they ought to.
Well, I mean, the Tillman thing still isn't settled. Aren't his parents suing? Or
yeah.
They're in some, you know, process to try to find out what happened.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, I just find them utterly disgusting, and I get very, very irritated at the American people for, I don't know what it takes.
Yeah.
You know, I know that the poll was skewed because of the way they asked the question, but, you know, if I'm calling somebody, it's none of your damn business what I'm calling about. Now,
that's
if
right.
I'm calling Osama bin Laden, I would expect you to listen to me.
Sure, sure.
You know, but I don't do that. And I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take, but...
Well, it makes you wonder...
Hopefully it's coming soon.
It does make you wonder how deep we are into this, because, as you know, when they first got caught back in, when was it, January or so, they said, well, you know, we've only been doing this like 500 phone calls or something like that. Now we find out it's hundreds of millions of calls. It makes you wonder what all is going on right now.
Well, and I think soon you're going to find out that also includes cell phone calls.
Sure.
And, you know.
Sure.
And, you know, to me, I think about, too, like business and corporations. Like, you know, all these people are businessmen. They all own, you know, millions of dollars worth of stock in various corporations and stuff. You know, don't people think that maybe they're listening on to conference calls or, you know, corporate conference calls of their competitors to find out what their competitors are doing?
So they know,
you know what I mean?
It's all fair game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to, you know, I'm glad you're on. Well, it's wonderful to hear fresh voices, and I know, you know, I mean to West Virginia here, because I think we just started getting you last week.
Where are you at in West Virginia?
Beckley.
Oh, Beckley, okay. I'm Beckley. Bob Kincaid territory.
Yes, sir. I'm very familiar with Bob Kincaid.
Beckley, what's that place in Beckley? You go through Beckley on the interstate there, and the state of West Virginia's got that big market up on
Tamarack.
Yeah, that's quite a place.
Yes, isn't it beautiful?
It sure is.
It's a really a great thing, too, because it gets to show off West Virginia artisans, you know, work. And
oh, yeah.
It's a great draw. A great.
It ought to be, because I've stopped there several times, and it's a great Tamarack. Yeah, if you're ever going through the interstate, going through Beckley, West Virginia, you folks all get out of your cars and stop and take a rest and go through that Tamarack. It's well worth it.
Oh, it is well worth it. You know, the Greenbrier, which is all in White Sulphur,
yeah.
You know, runs restaurants up there. And I don't know if you like green fried tomatoes, buddy, but...
Oh, sure.
You never tasted green fried tomatoes till you taste the Greenbrier.
Yeah, I like fried green tomatoes. I do. I've had them at the Whistle Stop down in South Carolina. So I do enjoy them.
They're excellent. Listen, if you ever drive through here again, we expect you to give us a call.
Why, we will.
We'll stop and buy you some free.
Oh, I'd love that.
Tomato.
I love that.
Very good.
Thank you for your call.
Have a good day.
Yeah, bye now.
Bye.
Well, let's see who we got on this line over here. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi, you're on the show.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling from Phoenix. I just wanted to throw a question out there, and it's probably going to send a chill through a lot of people's back, but it dawned on me this morning, scared her, you know, what out of me. This is a worst-case scenario, and I was thinking for all those people that thinks it's okay for our phones to be checked out and tapped or what have you, I was wondering what would happen if come November his phone numbers are still down, tanked down to the, you know, in 20s, and we have another terrorist attack on this nation. What are those people going to think then? I mean, then everything we've lost, our civil liberties have been lost for nothing. And certainly Bush is not going to be able to sit there and say, you know, we're doing a good job of protecting the country because we would have been attacked again.
Right.
It hit me like a, you know, blindsided me this morning. I was thinking about it, and it just scares me.
You know, here's to just to carry on with your thought there, and I know you've heard this, and everybody has. Let's say in the middle of October, late October, something does happen here, something bad. You know, I hope to God we're just completely crazy for even talking about it. But,
yeah, I hope so too.
But let's suppose something did happen. Would you put it past these people just to say, hey, we're going to cancel the elections and we're going to keep
exactly.
this?
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll just keep this office.
They'll declare martial law then, I think.
Yeah. I can't think of a worse group to declare martial law. They'd hang on to it. We'd have a situation like they've got over in Pakistan right now with Musharraf. He's let's face it, he's a dictator. And Bush would be in the same situation.
Well, the rats are getting cornered. So
yep.
We'll see what happens.
They are. They get a little mean then.
Thank you, Dubai.
Thank you for your call. Good to hear from you. Good to hear from our friends from West Virginia. And, Beckley, West Virginia. My good friend Bob Kincaid lives up in Beckley, West Virginia. I love West Virginia. I really do. West by God, Virginia, almost heaven. And I was on a ship a while back, and you know how they seat you with different people at dinner, and it's just really nice. Boy, that sounds good, being on a ship right now. But anyway, lady across from us was from West Virginia, and she's, I know nobody knows anything about West Virginia, and I started singing Almost Heaven, West Virginia tour, and she sang the whole song to her, and she just loved it, you know. That's what we ought to do some of these days. We ought to I'll just bring the guitar up to the studio and serenade you with a couple of numbers. We do that sort of thing, you know. Haven't done it on the radio, but been known to do it a time or two. Well, it's time for a break. And we're going to do that right now. Don't go anywhere. And by the way, give us a call, 866-546-5254. Great show so far today. Love the good calls we've had. And we'll be back in just a few minutes.
From the grave, saying loud and clear, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. Voices from the grave, saying loud and clear, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. Remember those who have died by his hands, remember those in far off lands, the innocent child, the newborn babe. Mother's home, I blown away. Voices from the grave, singing loud and clear. Gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. Voices from the grave, singing loud and clear. Gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. And what about those who are still alive? Hospital beds with burned out eyes, their bodies ruined by Allied bombs. What part of Satan did this democracy come from? What part of Satan did this democracy come from? Voices from the grave, saying loud and clear, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. Voices from the grave, saying loud and clear, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush.
people say that you make your own bed. What goes around comes around and gets you in the end. If a great big bomb falls on your town, did you vote for the man to mow the Arabs down? It's time to wake up. Cold red, stop listening to what the president says. Stop living your life like you're spoon-fed, because it's sucking the brain right out of your head. Sucking the brain right out of your head. They're sucking the brain right out of your head. They're sucking the brain right out of your head.
Voices from the grave saying loudly, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. Voices from the grave saying loudly, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. Voices from the grave saying loudly, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. Voices from the grave saying loudly, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. Voices from the grave saying loudly, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. Voices from the grave saying loudly, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush.
Oh, yeah. Glad to have you back with us here on the Guy James Show today. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Still no word on the Karl Rove thing. Still no word there. Wonder what is happening. I need to know. If you know. If you've got a scoop, if you've got a big scoop for us, let us know. We sure like to know. I don't know. I don't know what is going to happen. Yes, there are people whose credibility is most definitely on the line. I was just looking around the internet a little while ago, and I do not see anything at all from any mainstream media whatsoever that says, says there's anything to it so far. And looking at a couple of threads on some forums around the internet, I see that as old Lucy, as well, not Rick, it was Ricky. Remember Ricky Ricardo and Lucy? Lucy, you got a lot of splaining to do. Somebody's going to have some real splaining to do if Karl Rove isn't indicted this week, I'd say. I'd say a couple of people's journalistic credentials might as well just take them in and flush them, because it'd be over with for them. Because they've really, really, really backed the story in a very big way. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen right now. I often talk to someone asked me today, is that all you ever talk about is politics? Well, no, not all I ever talk about, but I do talk about it a lot. It's something I do and something I'm interested in, something I know a little bit about, something I've always been involved in. And so I do talk quite a little bit about it to my friends and all that. And I was thinking a little earlier in the program today, there's a few people I don't want to hear this, so keep it quiet, okay? When, because I'm telling on somebody. When Junior Bush first ran for office, a couple of people that I think a lot of voted for him. And one of them's got a master's degree in chemical engineering, and the other one's been a high-level administrator for a big company for a lot of years now. And both of them are men I'd consider to be highly intelligent. And at least I always considered to be highly intelligent. And I have to admit that every time I talked about how stupid Bush voters were, I always thought of these two guys because they just don't fit in with the average Bush bots, if you know what I mean. You know the average one we're talking about, more like that one that wrote the email that I read earlier in the program today. And I always chalked it up to the fact that they were very, very busy guys, involved in their careers, who didn't have the time to maybe properly study the candidates and do the right thing, and maybe were tired. Their parents were Republicans or whatever, and since they work for big corporations, maybe their bosses were Republicans, and they were all tied into that whole mess. And then, too, they might have been tired of all the Clinton sleaze in the press, and they decided to go the other way and vote for Bush. I don't know. But, they're both regular church attendees, although not of the evangelical persuasion. They both spoke to me about Bush being a good guy who's seen the light after years of being off the right path, and they were proud of him for finally getting his life together. A lot of people go through that. Both of them voted for Bush again in 2004. And I'd like to have a buck for all the times they've told me that Bush was simply the recipient of some extremely bad luck. You've all heard this one. Bad luck is what happened to Bush with the 9/11 and the economy and all. None of it was his fault. It was mostly all problems started by Clinton, and all we had to do was stick with Junior Bush, and he'd eventually lead us to the promised land. Yada, yada, yada. You've all heard that story. And they maintained, that the budget deficit had peaked and it was on its way to recovery. And in 2004, they saw where the war was turning around, and it looked to them like Bush had been right all along because of their elections and all. However, since all of the reasons they thought were favorable for a second Bush term have been flushed down the toilet now, I've rethought my opinion of the intelligence of both of these guys. I still love them both, but my opinions of their intelligence has really headed south along with Bush's poll numbers. I really, after a lot of thought, have now decided that you can earn a master's in chemical engineering or lots of other fields for that matter, and still be pretty doggone stupid in every other subject other than your field of study. And I guess you can bluff your way into being a corporate administrator if you're good enough at BS. I think after considering this whole thing, my friends aren't nearly as smart as I'd previously given them credit for. And if you can watch all that's transpired over the last 5.5 years and still believe that Bush is following a course that's good for America, you don't have the sense you were born with. Either that, or you're more stubborn than a mule. But then mules aren't accused of being overly intelligent either. And now after all we've seen, to believe that the reason the war is lost, the economy's down the drain, the budget deficit's out of control, the debt's beyond, well, it's beyond our capacity to ever pay it back. To blame all that on some sort of bad run of luck for Bush is just sheer idiocy. You don't get that unlucky. And furthermore, and this is one of the things about Bush that just drives me up the wall, if after what you've seen during his term of office, you still think that he's this good Christian man that they held him up to be, if you still think that, that's just plain crazy. If Christ believed in torture, if he believed in kicking the poor when they're down and stealing from the poor to give to the rich, then the Bible my mother gave me many years ago, it must be a misprint of some kind, because there isn't any of that kind of behavior mentioned in it. And that's the one I've studied. And I keep hearing the right-wing talkers and the pundits talking about how well the war's going. I've got a suggestion, and I think they ought to do this. I think we ought to push for this. I think we all ought to get together, start calling, start writing. People want the truth. Let's get them the truth. And I think we can get the truth with what I'm about to suggest to you. It's not anything difficult to come up with. It only took me a minute to think about it. Let's send a group, and I mean a group, a big group of the media over to Iraq. Let's pick like a half a dozen or so from Fox, half a dozen each from CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, Christian Science Monitor, NPR, Wall Street Journal, The New York Times, Newsweek, Time. Any and all of the right-wing publications you can find, any of them. Let's take about six people, six reporters from each one of those groups I just mentioned and any other one you can come up with. It's a great big group, a couple of big busloads. Send them over to Iraq as a group and haul their asses around Iraq with heavy protection and let them see for themselves exactly what's going on over there, all over the country. Take a month if you have to, whatever time it takes, and if they come back with any kind of consensus at all that things are going well, then I'll be a believer. I think they ought to do that. I don't understand why they cannot do that. You know why they're not doing that, because the United States government would have no part of that. They could take a couple of hundred people over there and protect them and haul their asses all around that country and let them get a good look-see at what's actually going on over there, but they don't want to do that because they know what the reporters should come back with. But if they did, if they went over there and they'd come back with a consensus that things are going well, like Bush has been saying, you count me as a believer. Until that, just shut the hell up about progress in Iraq. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it because it's a lie. The people in Iraq most especially know it's a lie. Our government knows it's a lie. And most of the American people have finally figured out it's a lie. And of course, all those jobs that have found their way to other countries, that's so good for America, you know. So good that the only jobs available for our people involve scraping food off of plates in the back of a Denny's restaurant, or maybe saying hello to the folks walking into our finest all-American company, Walmart. Our money's being stolen by the truckload. Halliburton, KBR, Bechtel, and other good corporate friends of Junior Bush and Dick Cheney have made off with billions of taxpayer dollars and have had to account for very little of it. We've had to cut our veterans' benefits in order to pay those thieving bastards that kind of money, and people think that's okay. I want to throw up every time I see one of those little support our troop ribbons on somebody's car and know that that person driving that car, A, is a Republican and that's probably all for this war, and B, knows that we've cut veterans' benefits in order to help support this war, or C, is just plain stupid. You know, I remember one of my friends showing off one of those magnetic ribbons on the back of his big Chevrolet Suburban. You know the ones. Made in China, so saying support our troops, support our troops. How can anyone wanting to support our troops not stand up and demand that they bring them home today? If not then today, then tomorrow. And, of course, the spying that Bush denied was taking place, except for that 500 or so phone calls that he talked about earlier in the year. A spying that we now know involves hundreds of millions of phone calls, perhaps billions of calls. That's okay. Because they'd never use it as a weapon against any of their political opponents. After all, we can trust these guys. Scooter Libby and Karl Rove are just being framed by those nasty Democrats and that prosecutor who's a Republican, but he isn't our kind of Republican. And I got friends that voted for Bush twice. And you know, after thinking it through, I don't know how I ever became friends with these guys in the first place. Because there's a big difference in morality right there. You know, with your friends, you like to share a sense of morality, a sense of community, a sense of right and wrong. Probably what draws you together. And again, I go back and attribute the whole mess to the lack of information for folks. They just don't know any better. Because they listen to Limbaugh, they listen to Hannity, they listen to O'Reilly, they listen to Laura Ingraham, they listen to Mike Savage, they listen to Glenn Beck, they listen to Dennis Prager, and whoever that little asshole was the other night that Randy Rhodes did a number on, I don't know his name. They listen to all those people day in and day out, and they get all their political information from them. And I have to admit, it always makes my day when one of them brings an argument from one of those folks I just mentioned to me, because as you well know, it's easy to knock down anything any of those people say. I mean, it's child's play. Let me ask you something. All my right-wing friends listening, and they sure wish you'd make your presence known while we're on the air instead of just with your emails. Sure wish you would have the courage to do that. Wish you'd have the courage to call in instead of writing nasty emails later on. You folks are disappearing rapidly, you know. Down to 29% of you got enough guts to say anything about it, and most of those 29% don't even say anything in public. It's puzzling to me. It is. It's very, very puzzling to me how 29% of the American public can still believe anything that this administration says. And I don't like to go on about it day in and day out. I really don't. But it's the most important thing we have in front of us right now in this society. We can't move forward with education. We can't move forward with probably absolutely solving the immigration problem. We can't move forward with health care. We can't move forward with a myriad of problems that are facing this great nation of ours. Because all the money's being sucked up into the black hole that is Bush's war on terror. Most of it's been wasted. How are we doing in this war on terror so far? We've sent Massawi to prison. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. We've killed, I don't know how many Al-Qaeda in Iraq that weren't there until we got there. Killed a few of them in Afghanistan. Rest of them fled to the hills between Afghanistan and Pakistan. Fanned out all over the Middle East. God only knows where the rest of them are. But where there was once maybe several hundred Al-Qaeda members, now there are probably many thousands. And Al-Qaeda, using that term, probably is a misnomer in many, many cases. A lot of people think Al-Qaeda is like going down and joining the local Moose or Elks Club, that y'all belong to the same club. It's really not the way it is. When you're an Al-Qaeda member, you're not all part of the same big group, all swearing allegiance to Osama bin Laden and every dictate that he comes out with. That's simply not the way it is. Al-Qaeda is more of an idea than it is a group. It's a platform, if you will. It's an idea by radical Islamists. But it's not any just one big group, one big club, but everybody raise their right hand and say, I swear allegiance to Al-Qaeda. That's not how it is. But whatever form these people, the radical Islamists, come in now, there are, I think it's a proven fact that there are many, many, many times more of them now than there was before Bush started this so-called war on terror, and most especially since before he invaded Iraq. He magnified the situation many times over. We're hated for it amongst the Middle East community. We're hated for it around the world, wherever there's a big Muslim community. Not because we have fought Al-Qaeda, but because we've made good and decent Muslim people in the Middle East suffer, and suffer terribly, because of starting a mistaken war that never should have been fought in the first place in the sovereign nation of Iraq. Oh, you say it was a good thing to get rid of Saddam Hussein. Most certainly it was. No one can deny that. He was a bad man. Are things better now in Iraq than they were before we took over? No. Maybe someday it will be. I hope so. But right now, that's a difficult place to be. And right now, being an Iraqi is a very, very, very tough chore. They don't have jobs. They don't have the schools they need. They don't have the water they need, the electricity that they need. They've entered the summertime. They don't have the air conditioning, the fans they need. These are tough people. And they're used to tough times. But they had it a lot better before we arrived on the scene. And we promised we'd come in and depose this terrible dictator and make their lives better. And they would hold elections, and it would become a land of milk and honey, and they'd have their freedom, and we'd rebuild their country, and everything would be just peaches and cream. But it hasn't happened. This rebuilding program that we've done, that we said that they could finance themselves with all the oil revenues that they have, it simply hasn't happened. The electricity grid, not near what it was. Fresh water, not near what it was. They've got food problems. They've got medicine problems. They've got health care problems. They most certainly have education problems. We have spent, what is it, $300 billion now? We're worse off. They're worse off. But there's somebody that's much better off. And that's the terrorist. Because they've won this war so far. They've caused fear and panic in the world. That's what terrorists do. They don't set out to conquer a nation with military might. They set out with an idea to cause terror, to cause fear, to change people's minds, in that manner. And they've done so. They have done so to many people right here in the United States of America. People who would give up their freedoms, as Ben Franklin said, for a little temporary safety, and those who would do that deserve neither. And since we know there are millions of Americans that have gone along with that idea that they will, okay, you can bug my phone. You can bug my email. You can do all that. I will not object, because I'm a good patriotic American. The terrorists have won. And we have lost this war in Iraq. And the Iraqi people are losers as well. And so far there's no indication that we've won the war in Afghanistan as well, because the Taliban, as surely as I'm sitting here, are taking that country back over again as we speak. No place in that country safe except Kabul. Everybody there knows it. And Kabul isn't even safe at night with the American troops that are there. The warlords control that country once again. And the heroin production is bigger and better than it ever was before. What we've accomplished there and in Iraq, virtually nothing. And yet we've lost nearly 2,500 lives and countless tens of thousands of lives of innocent Iraqis and Afghanistanis in the process. Our foreign policy is a disaster. And folks, the point I want to make is we've got a chance to change all that about 6 months from now. We can. We must. Not just to save the people of those countries, but to save our own country. We can and we must. I'll leave you with that thought today. I want to thank you very much for joining us here in the Flamingo Island on the Guy James Show today. I appreciate you having joined us today. Listen to our calls. And I do invite you to join us again tomorrow. Because as always, you've heard from a radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Have a great day.